Tecovas.
Hey guys, I want to talk to you about my Tecovas cowboy boots. I picked them up while I was in Austin, Texas. I had this event I had to go to that night. It was a formal thing. I had this idea of what I was going to wear, but I needed the one extra thing. And I was like, aha, Tecovas. There's a Tecovas here in Austin. The dudes who worked at the store were great. I found the exact boot I was looking for. This boot is called the Dylan. I got it in midnight black. I wore them to this formal event. I had on a suit. And then tonight, I'm going to wear them with jeans to my son's baseball game. These things are amazing cowboy boots. They're super comfortable, and I can tell already that they're going to last for a long time. A couple things you can do here to check out Tecovas. If you can, stop by your local Tecovas store. Have a complimentary drink or two. The experience is awesome. You can shop all the new styles. You're going to smell that fresh leather in the store. The friendly staff are going to be at your service. They're going to take care of you. They're going to make you feel like a rock star. A lot of the Tecovas stores have these leather custom branding services to make your boots truly personalized. They put on regular live music and events. It's an awesome in-store experience. So if you have the opportunity to check out a Tecovas store, I highly recommend it. If you can't make it into a store, just visit tecovas.com. That's T-E-C-O-V-A-S.com. They offer free shipping on all boots, as well as free returns and exchanges, and they ship right to your door. Go to tecovas.com and find your new favorite pair of boots today. Disgraceland is brought to you by Disgraceland All Access. Disgraceland All Access membership is your chance to support the show and get ad-free listening, an exclusive scripted episode every month, and exclusive bonus content every week, plus access to an always-on chat with me and your fellow discos. Visit disgracelandpod.com/membership or just click on the link in the show notes for this episode. Hey, discos, you can listen to an extended version of this after-party episode by becoming a member of Disgraceland All Access. Just go to disgracelandpod.com/membership for more details and to sign up. Hey guys, welcome to Disgraceland, which is brought to you by Double Elvis. This week we get a brand new episode on Garth Brooks in the Disgraceland feed, and for our All Access members and our Patreon and Apple subscription feeds, we have episodes on Basquiat, Lane Staley from Alice in Chains, and Hunter S. Thompson, plus more to come. So be sure to make sure you're all signed up for the All Access content either on Apple Podcasts or on Patreon so that you can hear those new episodes. And over in the Shred with Shifty feed, that's our show hosted by Chris Shiflett of the Foo Fighters. He's talking with guitarist Brad Whitford from Aerosmith, so make sure you check that out as well. Hey, discos. Need a little more Disgraceland in your life? Just a touch to get you through? Yeah, me too. This is the podcast that comes after the podcast. Welcome to Disgraceland, the after party. Welcome, All Access members, to the Disgraceland bonus episode, a little thing we like to call the after party. Welcome to the Disgraceland bonus episode, a little thing we like to call the after party. This is the show after the show, the party after the party, the bridge to get you from one full episode of Disgraceland to the other, the backyard to dig into the dirt. On this episode, we are talking about our new story on Garth Brooks, the sources that we used for our Garth Brooks episode, which helped us uncover this crazy theory about the connection between Garth's tour route and missing persons, and of course, your voicemails, texts, DMs, and more, and as always, a whole lot of Rosie. All right, discos, let's get into it. Serial killers: Ed Kemper, Jeffrey Dahmer, Ted Bundy, Ed Gein, Richard Ramirez, Garth Brooks. You know by now, of course, that I am not serious. Garth Brooks is not a serial killer. But a large portion of the internet is obsessed with the fact that he could be a serial killer, which got me wondering about the public's, ours really, our obsession with true crime. True crime, of course, is a big part of what we do here. We have a broader definition than most, sure, but still, the world's fascination with serial killers and my own fascination with the criminal element. I've often wondered where this comes from, where this fascination comes from. Why are we collectively obsessed with true crime? Serial killers in particular, bad people. Now,
obviously, I can't speak for the world at large, but my thinking is that our collective obsession with serial killers is derived in part from the fact that these people, these murderers, they do the unthinkable. And their actions, they force us to think about these heinous acts. And there's a visceral fear that goes along with putting yourself in the shoes of the victims who do come face to face with Ed Kemper and the like. But when it comes to my obsession with the criminal element at large, my fascination with the musicians and artists of the world whose transgressions aren't just minor sins, but mortal sins, felonies, it's hard for me to come up with an answer as to why I've been so fascinated my whole life. Basically, since I started reading novels in the sixth grade or thereabouts, I gravitated towards crime. I still do, of course. It's hard for me to create anything that isn't related to crime in some way. Even when I was making music in punk bands, hardcore bands, and later as a singer-songwriter, I often wrote songs from the perspective of a criminal, and I obsessed over murder ballads and old weird Americana, all the bad, bad men, all those stories that we covered in the Pigpen episode of Disgraceland. Of course, like most of you, I'm nothing like these men. I live a fairly conventional life. I live on a fairly normal-looking street. I wake up with similar hopes, dreams, aspirations, and fears, as you all do. So then why am I currently pouring myself into books about Boston's Chinatown drug dealers and early 20th century American anarchists and the Coke-fueled 86 Mets instead of spending more time watching the Boston Bruins in the playoffs and getting excited about my summer break that's coming up? And I've been thinking about this all morning, knowing that I'm coming into the booth to record this episode on the heels of this Garth Brooks serial killer nonsense. I've been thinking about why this is. Why am I fascinated with crime? Truman Capote's In Cold Blood, Mario Puzo's The Godfather, everything by James Ellroy. Why? Perhaps it has something to do with the line. The line that Springsteen talks about on Nebraska. Quote, there's winners and losers and don't get caught on the wrong side of that line. Now that lyric from that song Atlantic City, it always resonated with me. And I'm not from New Jersey or Philly. I knew no chicken men growing up, but there is a universal element in that lyric. The wrong side of that line. And like I said, I didn't know any chicken men, but I knew plenty of guys who ended up on the wrong side of that line. And not just passing acquaintances like the prison break party I found myself at in high school with recently escaped felons where we watched news of their prison break on the 11 o'clock news, the story that I told when I went on My Favorite Murder. Now, I didn't know those guys, really, but I was in their orbit, of course. The important part of what I'm trying to say, though, is that I did know other guys who I knew them well. Guys who crossed that line. And it was like 1 minute, they're part of our lives, smoking grass, listening to music, fucking off. And then they're robbing little old ladies coming out of ATMs and being sent away to Concord MCI. Crossing that line then and now, it seems like a very easy distance to traverse. And I think that's why I'm so fascinated by it. That slip from a normal life to a criminal life. It is not that hard for some to make, especially if you grow up poor, you grow up desperate, or you just don't have options or imagination. I never lacked an imagination, and neither do the millions of internet trolls out there who imagine Garth Brooks to be a serial killer. Is it so hard to imagine, really? Especially, like I said, when that line is so easy to cross? I don't think so. Which musicians, other than Garth Brooks, creep you out and make you question their motives? Which rock stars, which country stars, which hip-hop stars, any musicians at all, which ones fit the serial killer profile for you? If Snoop Dogg could be a real-life pimp, which he was, doesn't it stand to reason that Eminem could be stacking bodies? Let's have some stupid fun and let me know which artist you'd be least surprised to find out was a serial killer. 617-906-6638. Send me a text, leave me a voicemail, 617-906-6638. Let me know which musical artist you'd be least surprised to find out was a serial killer. I'm going to take a quick break and I'll be back in a flash. Hey, are you guys proud dog owners like I am? You ever wonder why so many dogs are suffering from health issues? Actress Katherine Heigl, you know Katherine Heigl from Knocked Up, she's helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation. And she says that she's seeing more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health
than ever before. After doing a ton of research, Catherine feels that there's one place that we can all look to improve our dog's health, and that is their food. Many dog foods can actually create toxins that can be wrecking our dog's health. Okay, and this is true even for many of the premium dog food brands. However, by just adding a few special superfoods to our dog's diets, we can see huge transformations in their health. Catherine Heigl has already done this. She's made a video about it. You guys need to watch this video. It's a 20-minute video explaining step-by-step how anyone can do the same thing to see incredible changes in their dog's health. This worked amazingly for my dog, Dusty. I'm noticing more energy, healthier skin, healthier coat. Dusty's coat looks fantastic. If you want to keep your dog healthy and happy, go to badlandsfood.com/disgraceland and watch Catherine's video right now. Again, that's badlandsfood.com/disgraceland. Hey, Discos, it's Jake here. Thank you so much for listening to Disgraceland. Your support truly means a lot to me, and it's because of you that my team and I are able to make this show. If you want more Disgraceland, if you want more regular interactions with me and the community of Disgraceland listeners, or if you simply want to listen to the show ad-free, go to disgracelandpod.com/membership or just click on the link in the show notes for this episode. For just $5 a month, you can listen to every episode of Disgraceland ad-free. Plus, you'll get one brand new exclusive episode every month. You'll also get weekly unscripted bonus content, special audio collections, and early access to merch and events. There are two ways that you can support the show and become a member at disgracelandpod.com/membership. You can sign up using Patreon and listen to the show ad-free on Apple, Spotify, and most other major podcast platforms. And Patreon members also get access to all the other perks of membership and an always-on chat where I'll be interacting with you and diving deeper into the world of Disgraceland. But maybe you're currently an Apple Podcast subscription listener and you want to just tap into all the bonus audio content and ad-free listening that we're offering. We're also offering this membership as a premium channel on Apple Podcasts. However you choose to join, all you got to do is go to disgracelandpod.com/membership. Support the show for just $5 a month, $5, or sign up for an annual plan and get 2 months free. Come join me and your fellow discos at Disgraceland All Access by visiting disgracelandpod.com/membership. All right, let's talk for a minute about the sources that we used for this week's episode on Garth Brooks. First, when it comes to the true story of Garth's unprecedented rise to fame, I mean, if you're not a Garth Brooks fan, you don't know much about him. You just think he's one of these commercial country artists who got famous and, you know, kind of dominated the charts for a while. There's so much more to his rise, to his fame. And most of what we got from a book called The Garth Factor, The Career Behind Country's Biggest Boom by Patsy Bale Cox. Patsy, rest in peace, helped write the autobiographies of artists like Loretta Lynn, Tanya Tucker, Winona Judd, even Pat Benatar, and she worked for a Nashville-based publicity firm which handled PR for Capitol Records, where Garth was a major artist. But if you've heard the episode, you know that it's anything but a typical episode of Disgraceland. The inspiration, of course, being this incredible joke started by comedian Tom Segura and his wife, Christina Pazitsky. If I'm saying that wrong, incorrectly, I apologize, Christina. It's a joke about Garth being so weird and so awkward and so strange that he maybe, just maybe, was a serial killer. It's a fucked up joke. I know, I get it, but it's hysterical. It's incredibly compelling. A serial killer who struck while he toured, evidenced by the number of people who went missing along Garth's seemingly eternal touring route. We fully committed to this joke by chasing down the data, and by that I mean we looked at Garth's tour dates year after year, painstakingly plotted each and every date against missing persons data in each city where he performed. And I'm talking about a lot of data, dates upon dates upon dates, cities upon cities, year upon year. Most of the time, this research led to nothing, but sometimes it gave us something, a nugget, a disappearance that he could easily tie to Garth Brooks being in town. And in doing this legwork, it helped us build this dramatic case that Tom Segura's joke had legs for real. And it does. Excuse me. The joke does, at least. But the actual insinuation that Garth is some kind of serial killer obviously is not true. All right. Don't come at me.
You know that. You know I'm having fun here. I understand this is not a novel idea. This is Tom Segura's idea. We like to think that we took it somewhere else in the way we do things here at Disgrace Him. All right, a major source of inspiration in making this episode, Michael Jackson's Thriller video. Why? Do you know? We didn't include this in our list of sources on the website because, as I said, it's more a source of inspiration than anything else. But the Thriller video was a major creative device for us in making this episode. And if you think you know what it is, you got to let me know, 617-906-6638, voicemail and text. That's how you get at me. Just like this person in the 920.
Greetings, Disgraceland. This is Evermore down low in the 920, re-listening to Public Enemy requesting Rage Against the Machine.
All right, 920, thanks for the call. Rage Against the Machine, perhaps someday. We just did Public Enemy though, so it's going to be a minute, but I dig it. All right, let's check in with the 508 here. Answering the question we had from last week's after party, who the greatest folk singers, folk musicians, folk songwriters, folk artists were. And I was talking about beyond just the genre, guy with an acoustic guitar at a coffee house or playing Newport or something like that. And I guess that last voicemail kind of hit on that too with the Rage Against the Machine request. That's what I'm talking about. Artists that represent what's going on in their time and place. Let's check this one out from the 508.
Hey, Jake. It's Mike from the 508. I was just calling in regards to your question about who is the greatest folk artist or singer. And I would say I actually would go with Phil Oakes. First of all, obviously he was a folk singer in the sense of the genre, but much unlike the, you know, kind of watered down folk of his contemporaries like Enon Stelia or like Gordon Lightfoot or whoever, or Eric Anderson, you know, he was really topical every single song. I guess you would say, first and foremost, he was a Vietnam protester, but he sung about everything. If you want to look up more about him, I mean, in addition to listening to his albums, there's this great book, I forget who it's by, but it's called Death of a Rebel. It's worth checking out. Anyway, love the show. Okay, rock and roll up. Thanks, bye.
Yeah, Mike, I hear you, and that's... I got to admit, though, I don't know a lot about Phil Oakes, and now I'm interested, so I'm going to check that out. I appreciate the call, and I'm hoping to get into some heavy folk with Phil Oakes. Let's see. What do we got here? This one, let's do one more from the 412.
Yo, brother. It's a Dan Electro. Anyway, I'm going to gotta get back to work. I'll talk to you later.
412. I played that voicemail because it's fucking ridiculous. I have no idea what you're talking about, 412. I don't know who you are. Are you a friend of mine that I just don't recognize your voice? And the answer to a question that I cannot recall seems to be Dan Electro, which is a guitar, of course. But, you know, call back 412 and let me know what the hell it is you're talking about. 617-906-6638. Hit me up, voicemail and text. Let's do a couple texts here as well while I got you. 310 writes in, how about Ice-T's band Body Count? They deserve a shout in any discussion about rap metal between Slayer, Public Enemy. I think he means Anthrax and Public Enemy. And you know what? You're right, 310. I was going to talk about Body Count, but there's only so much you could talk about in that blurb. All right, 775 writes in, hey, Jake, on the folk artist front, the Gen X folk artist is Todd Snyder. This one is actual folk music proper, but he's on point and truly funny. He offers that spoonful of sugar for the medicine he's dishing out. Check him out if you haven't. Good place to start is his live album, Near Truths and Hotel Rooms. But check out Songs for the Daily Planet for a dose of early 90s What's Going On vibes. I'm pretty sure I've seen Todd Snyder before, perhaps played with him in a galaxy far, far away, however you say it. But still, I don't know his music that well. And I think I was just reading about how Todd Snyder was super critical of Garth Brooks. So that kind of ties it all together here. 617-906-6638. Voicemail and text. Hit me up. Let me know. Answer to my question from earlier in the A block. Which musician gives you the most serial killer vibes? Or you can just hit me up about anything. Send me pictures of your dogs. Whatever you guys want to do. I love the dog pics. Keep them coming. I'm going to take a quick break. All right, we are back. And did you know that not only do we have this new episode out this week on Garth Brooks that you can hear by going back into your feed, we also have new episodes on Basquiat, Lane Staley of Alice in Chains, and Hunter S. Thompson with many more to come, but you haven't heard any of them. Why not? Why? I'll tell you why. Because you're not a member of Disgrace and All Access, which you must now know, okay? You must now know about, all right? You listen to this podcast, I talk about it constantly. It's simple. Disgrace and All Access gives you exactly what you're getting now, but you get every episode of Disgraceland. That's 173 episodes and counting without ads, okay? Plus, you get bonus weekly content, like the extended version of this here after party that you're listening to right now and is about to end for you. It's about to end and you're going to have to just go back into your lives doing whatever the hell it is you don't want to do. Or you can become an All Access member and you can keep listening to this All Access bonus episode. All right. And then on top of that, you're going to get the bonus full episodes every month, like the Basquiat episode I mentioned, the Lane Staley, the Hunter S. Thompson, got more coming as well. All right. All you have to do to get it all is to go to disgracelandpod.com/membership. It's just $5 a month. That's $1 a week, even less if you sign up for an annual membership. You can sign up either via Apple Podcasts or Patreon. But if you join Patreon, you get the added perk of me being in our always-on chat with you, talking about whatever the hell it is we're talking about on pretty much a daily basis. So remember, disgracelandpod.com/membership. Sign up and get an even more immersive Disgraceland experience. I'll be back in a flash. All right, let's recap, shall we? Number one, there's more After Party to listen to right now. All you got to do is go to disgracelandpod.com/membership and sign up to become an All Access member. But if that ain't your bag, then number two, right now in your feed, this week's brand new episode on Garth Brooks. Number three, coming tomorrow, a rewind episode on Ice-T. Number four, over in the Badlands feed, we've got a brand new episode on Adrian Shelley. Number five, next week in the Disgraceland feed, a brand new episode on William S. Burroughs. Number six, my number is 617-906-6638. Call me on the telephone or text me. Number seven, remember, no one cares about the music you love more than you do. And well, that is a disgrace. Now, my moment of bliss, in honor of this week's episode on Garth Brooks, me reading you the city directory from Tulsa, Oklahoma in 1922. Brooking, Gus. 312 South Denver Avenue. Brookings, Bert, Vice President, Gibraltar Oil Company. 1414 South Carson Avenue. Brooklyn Hotel, 106.5 South Boston Avenue. Brooklyn Oil and Gas Company, C.G. Taylor, President, L.E. Little, Vice President, and Secretary L.E. Taylor. 319 Robinson Building. Brooks, Adele, Jefferson School, rooms 1211 East 5th Place. Brooks, Alex, Williams and Harvey, 511 East Latimer. Bessemer Gas Engine Company, Office and Warehouse, 201 East 1st Street. Phone, Seat, 310-311. Secretary Greer Supply Company, Sand Springs, Oklahoma. Automobile accessories, repairs, batteries.
Quit talking and start mixing. Cut it!